One, two, three, four.
The air outside is cold, she said to me with a smile.
Hello, world, and welcome to episode 43 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Sean.
I'm Zane.
I'm Josh.
Nobody wanted to do the intro this week, so I jumped on it.
You're usually the intro man. You're good
sometimes,
at it.
Sometimes Zane's the intro man.
Sometimes Zane is the intro man.
Yeah.
Intro person.
Intro
Venus. Intro penis.
Zane, what are you reading?
I am reading The Cuckoo's Calling. By Robert Galbraith, the pen name of J.K. Rowling. Yeah.
And?
Which is interesting because J.K. Rowling is already a pen name.
What's her real name?
What is her real name?
Joe Rowling.
Yeah, well, yeah, but...
I don't know what the K is. I'm sorry.
No, she just did it because of J.R.K. Tolkien.
No, which she, when she went to publish Harry Potter, they weren't sure that a like fantasy book by a woman would sell. So they made her do a pen name so that people weren't sure if it was a man or a woman.
It was a woman, guys.
It was a woman.
Still is. She still is a woman.
Still.
And is still making that mad Harry Potter loot.
She gave away a lot of her money, though.
If they, that's because she had to make room for the rest that's coming in.
Well, in England, you're only allowed to have, like, 2 sixpence or something like that. And then you gotta give it all to the trolley.
So how is it?
It's good so far. Right. I didn't love The Casual Vacancy. So I sort of felt like an obligation to read this.
But The Casual Vacancy was actually written under the name J.K. Rowling, right?
Yes, yeah, okay. Yeah. Which I don't know if how much that affects like the style of the writing.
Okay.
I don't know. I had a hard time with The Casual Vacancy. It wasn't that it was bad. It was just, I think it was sort of my fault. I went into it like.
It's a departure from her.
I wanted it to feel like a J.K. Rowling book, and it kind of didn't, which is totally unfair because, you know, my only other... like, way to measure that is Harry Potter.
Has she written anything else, though? I mean, it's not your only way to measure it.
7 Harry Potters?
That's what I mean.
yeah, and then...
And the Fabulous Beasts and the...
Yeah, all those and everything. Hornblower but that's all part of that world, the and book worlds. It can be written in, like, that same style.
How would you ever not write about that, honestly?
Well, the answer is, like, you don't. She's continuing, basically, to just keep writing about it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
We're going to have more Potter movies.
And is it a trilogy, or is it like, I know there's 3 books now, but is it going to be more?
Okay. I don't know that if it's, I honestly don't know that much about it. I'm not, like, all steeped in it. But it's good so far. It's interesting. It's keeping my attention.
Good. All right. It's a mystery, right?
Like yeah, which, story? Again, like, it was sort of like, really, you're going to make me do a mystery, Joe? Because I don't love mysteries like that, but it's interesting so far, and I don't know.
All right.
It's like, it's good. It's good.
Do you want to ask him, Zane, or should I?
Josh. Did you read it all this week?
I didn't. No, I didn't read it all this week. I was busy this week, so I didn't. Right. Today's usually my day. I sit around. I sip some tea.
Look at the pile of books that I don't read.
Look at the pile of books. I stand there and I... it's a fuck ton of books. Somebody should really read these.
Growing every day.
That's right. Wow, there's more books this week.
Oh, man. I got a lot of books.
Josh, quit sipping your tea.
Quit sipping so loudly!
It's Josh's old lady.
Josh!
It's the coffee table books in Josh's insane brain.
Oh my god.
Sean, what are you reading?
I finished the Irvine Welsh, A Decent Ride.
Okay. Oh yeah.
And dude, like, you know, we've talked about it on the show at length before about Irvine Welsh. Mm-hmm. And I told you that, like, for the past couple of novels, he kind of, like, dialed it back a little bit. You know, he moved, all the narrative moved to Florida because that's where he is now. Mm. Yeah, this is back in Edinburgh. And, dude, like, it's like all the stuff that he didn't hit in, like, the graphic nature before. He's like, how about we do everything I've never done before? Like, if you can think of a sex act or a sex crime, it's probably in that book.
Oh, man. And it's going to make me think of sex crimes.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting homework.
It's... I I said if. It's more of like a Socratic thing.
We gotta pick a favorite character, and now we gotta pick a favorite sex crime?
Hey, don't get ahead of ourselves.
Whoa! Spoiler alert.
Right? Seriously.
God, you are the worst.
Free flow podcaster.
Like, some of it was super cringeworthy, because it's like really gross shit's happening.
Yeah, I don't know if I could, I don't know.
You couldn't. I know for a fact that there's three or four scenes, and I'm like, no.
I can't even get through Crooked Little Vein I can't even get through the cover, Crooked Little Vein, because I know it's about needles.
And Zane, you could read it, but you wouldn't enjoy it. Like, I don't think you would get into it.
Challenge accepted.
All right, I'll loan it to you.
Reverse psychology. Jeez.
I don't think it's up your alley.
Yeah, it wouldn't suit my delicate sensibilities.
Not at all what I said.
Not a horse in it. Is there a horse sex crime act?
No.
That's the next one.
That's right. Because he does go back to Edinburgh quite a bit.
Lots of horses there.
All right. Well, I got it. Like, literally, just before we sat down tonight, I think it was two episodes ago, we were talking about... it was you and me. It was the episode you and I
the
did,
Hobbit
Josh.
Episode.
And I said that there was something that was getting remade, and I've been talking about it with my wife, Paige, and I couldn't remember. I was like, I can't remember what it is, and I don't know what it was that we were talking. Doesn't that ring a bell with anybody?
Yeah.
No?
I mean, absolutely.
I wasn't there.
But you listened to the show.
I did.
I was there.
Anyway, I got a text like 5 minutes before we started. It was Memento.
Oh,
they're remaking Memento.
I saw that, and I was like, that's... Why?
It was like 15 years old, if that.
It's like from 2000 or 2001 or something.
It just doesn't really warrant a remake.
Exactly.
It's unnecessary.
It's totally unnecessary.
Actually, I saw a great tweet from Guy Pierce that was like, hey, I heard the remake in Memento. I'd love to play the lead role in it. I thought it was hilarious.
He's available.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything since, what, The Hurt Locker?
Was he in The Hurt Locker?
He dies in the beginning.
He shows up in stuff.
He's usually good.
I like him. I love L.A. Confidential. I love that movie.
Yeah, and he was in The Count of Monte Cristo. You know what? Let's not talk about him in The Count of Monte Cristo. He was way over the top.
Oh, yeah.
He's a British man.
No, he's Aussie.
Oh, well, same difference.
Oh, that's a prison. Like the prison of Britain. Zane's rolling her eyes. Now Josh is rolling his eyes. I'm sorry.
I'm rolling my eyes. Australia
was founded as a penal colony. Why are you rolling your eyes, Zane?
No reason.
Zane doesn't like facts.
She doesn't. History
I'm sorry.
Facts.
It was founded as a horse barn.
I don't like tangents.
For horses.
Let's move on.
You don't like tangents. This is the 43rd episode.
So you finished Irvine Welsh. Are you reading anything else?
I haven't started it yet. I'm about to start a novel called Dodgers. By a guy named Bill Beverly.
It is about the Astros.
It's about gangsters in Compton.
Oh, that's cool. They all wear Dodger hats?
I don't know. I haven't read it yet. I haven't even... I finished Irvine Welsh and haven't started anything else yet. But it's come very... It's not out. It won't
One
be out until April.
Book a week? Sean, you are slowing down.
Oh, my God. Can you believe
it? I will admit...
That is like an all-time low.
Here's the thing. First of all, no, it's not. Second of all, the Irvine Welsh dragged. Like, there were parts of it where it was like, not because of the graphic nature, but, like, he usually writes, like 5 or 6 page chapters, which I like. Like, I like an author
like
that, like, breaks things up.
Yeah,
this one had, you go, like, 25 pages without a break.
That's really annoying.
Yeah.
It's a lot of sex crimes.
He's got to list them all off.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all written in that phonetic Scottish, so it's like,
oh my God.
You have to read it. Like,
that's really difficult.
It's like reading freaking Macbeth.
Kind of like that.
Or
you're not supposed to say that in a theater.
Beowulf.
That you can say in a theater.
Wait, you're not supposed to say Macbeth?
Yeah. It's like a superstition.
They call it that play?
The Scottish play,
The Scottish play, that's right.
I once said it at a rehearsal for the theater group that I work with, and this one woman literally freaked out. Like, she flipped out at
real.
Me.
It's not real.
No, I know.
Superstitions are made up.
Yes, I know. I didn't say I flipped out.
Go on.
Doesn't mean anything.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah, let's take a little break, and when we come back... We've got a listener suggestion that Josh already spoiled. So stick around and pretend to be surprised when we come back.
I wanted to follow her home, but before I could, it was too late. I noticed her tracks in the snow, but by then there had been too much time in between us.
Welcome back to episode 43 of Craig the Spine. I'm still Zane.
Up, Josh. I guess we're doing it counterclockwise.
I didn't make a 43 joke, but it's okay because I don't have one. I don't have any 43 references.
Guess we're all missing out this week.
Sorry.
What'll come to you, like, when you're editing it, or tomorrow, or today, later tonight?
Isn't there a show called The 43?
The 4400? That was a show. Well, that's we're not there yet.
Write that one down in your notebook, Zane, for when we get there.
Yeah, 4400. That's
Zane's imagining a life where she does 4400 episodes of these right now.
That's 4001 episodes from now.
No, but I realize in less than 10 episodes we're gonna
jinx it. What? I will have been doing it for a year.
I haven't done this for a year.
You weren't on the first 2 months.
This is like my quinceañera episode. How long have I been here?
15 years.
15
That's what quinceañera means, mm-hmm. So you're right.
Yeah.
Zane hates tangents.
I know. We're really good at them, though.
Zane, what are we talking about this week?
Today, we are talking about a topic suggested by a listener, Connor Murphy. And he asked us, who is your favorite main character? What about the characters so special that you consider them an all-time great? And would you make any changes if you were given control over them? And he also was inclusive. It didn't just have to be a literary character. It could be from film or television or games.
It could be an illiterate character. Gotcha. Illiterary.
Now let that silence just sit for a second.
What did I just... Go ahead. Who's your favorite?
I will say right off the bat, that's a hard fucking question.
That is
question.
A really hard yes. question.
Right?
Like, it is a really hard question.
Like, Zane, we were talking earlier in the week, like, what are we going to talk about? And I was like, well, the listener suggested this. And Zane wrote back, like, that's a great idea.
It was like, yeah, that's such a great and then thing
earlier,
to talk about.
And then earlier this afternoon, she sent a text that was like, I can't do this.
I don't know.
I had a chunk of time today, and, like, because I worked this morning, and then I had a little chunk of time. And I decided to sit down and, like, you know, I was like, well, I wonder if there's anything I can research or, like, I'll write down what I want to say tonight. And I just sat with my empty notebook for, like, an hour. And then I was, like, perusing my bookshelves, like, well, okay, what characters do I really like? And I just couldn't, I said to Josh earlier, I have this thing where as soon as someone asks me to pick, like, one thing that's my favorite, I can't even think of anything right. that I like.
Yeah.
So, like, I was like, I don't like any characters. I can't do this. And I thought about texting you and being like, I can't do it.
You did.
I can't
That's
do
exactly
this.
What you texted me. You thought about it. No, you did it.
Like telling you, like, that we should change the topic because I can't narrow
I think
it down.
That's good, though. I was saying to you, I think that that's a good sign. I think it means you're looking at things in a broader perspective. Because, like, I use the example, like, what's your favorite song? I couldn't pick a favorite song.
Right.
Like, you can't. It's impossible. No. There's too many different things.
Can't pick just one.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and, like, I don't think there's any possible way to say that, like, this one character is my favorite character.
Yeah.
Like, I think, you know, if we can start getting specific. I think the, like, one of the best fully formed, fleshed out characters in all of literature is Edmond Dantes, the Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that that story is so well constructed and woven, and the character is, like, you know, the threads that he puts out in the beginning of the book are all braided together so beautifully at the end, and it's all through Edmond's, like, journey. But is he my favorite? Like, you know, I would say he's probably the best character I've ever read, but is he my favorite?
Well, I kept running into stuff like that. Like, I was like, okay, well, then what are, like, some of the really great literary characters?
Right.
But they're not necessarily my favorite.
Sherlock Holmes, but, like...
Well, that's, like, you
I've
know,
never
like,
finished a Sherlock Holmes novel.
That's
Sherlock
what I mean.
Holmes
I never have either.
Is a great character. He's a lasting character. You could even talk about someone like Dracula.
Right.
But, like, and then I started trying to discount stuff like... Dracula or, like, Batman.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that that, like, I feel has been... There's too many versions of that character.
Right. I always think
so, like,
that,
there's too many versions
actually,
of
when
Dracula.
You said Dracula.
There's too many versions of Batman.
It's like, the Dracula, the novel, like, the original novel, you know, he's kind of... It's not real, like... It's not a novel as such. Like, it's written, like, journal entries and letters and, like, diaries and, Like, I think Dracula has become so iconic because he's been interpreted so many times in so many different media.
It's like picking King Arthur.
Right.
And, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Or that's like picking, like, who's your favorite band? The Beatles. Like, okay, sure, you know? But, I mean, I think that's okay if, like, you really like that archetype or whatever, but, like, I don't know. There needs to be some kind of subtlety to it. I don't know.
I also, like, as I was thinking about this, I realized that in a lot of my, like, tastes, I'm drawn to anti-heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, bad guys who are like, the protagonist of the book. The one I keep coming back to in my head is Pat Bateman.
Yeah.
Of American Psycho.
Yeah.
Again, like, horrible human being.
Yeah.
But so incredibly detailed and articulated by Bret Easton Ellis that, like, you feel, like, I don't want to say, like, you feel empathy for him. But, like, you certainly feel like it's a very real character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is he one of my favorite characters? I don't know. Because exactly. because there's so much heinousness attached to who he is.
I thought about one of my favorite books, Lolita, and the main character, Humbert, is, like, it's such a beautifully formed character, and he is such a monster.
Right.
But he's so well written that you do kind of sympathize with him, and it's, you know, and like in that way it's he's fabulously written, but he is far from my favorite character.
Right.
Like my favorite, no, that's not it. You know, like just like Lolita is not my favorite.
And like the Lord of the Rings contains some of my favorite characters,
right.
Like the members of the Fellowship, like amazing. You know, okay, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, now I'm saying it out loud. Gandalf
Might
be one of my favorite characters of all time. But that's more like, I was introduced to Gandalf as a really young kid reading The Hobbit, when, like, the world still held the possibility of actual magic.
Yeah.
Like, when you read The Hobbit in 5th and 6th grade, it's like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And then, actually, I didn't read The Fellowship of the Ring until I was, like, 20, and I didn't know anything about it. And when Gandalf falls in the Mines of Moria, I, like, closed the book, and I was like, what the hell? They just killed Gandalf. That's like the best thing going on in this book. And he's dead. And it was, I didn't like throw the book across the room, so but I cute. Like was 10. Shut up.
It is. It's cute.
All right.
You only had to wait until the beginning of the next book to get.
I know, right?
New Gandalf. Better Gandalf. but Gandalf's kind of, he's like Arthurian. Like all that stuff's like very mythological. And I love that. I love characters like that.
And he becomes like a childhood friend when you get introduced to him early.
He's like Obi-Wan.
Exactly. Obi-Wan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other way around, probably.
Yeah. But like, I always think about like the how like twisted it gets. Like now, like with Star Wars coming out again and like everyone's like dressing their kid up like Darth Vader. And it's like, Darth Vader. The guy who murders children and, you know, the guy who chokes people and is evil as hell. But now it's like, oh, Darth Vader. So like,
But that, I mean, that's like, you know, like when Westerns were big,
right.
Like kids would dress up as bad, like the bad guy. The like they put on the black hats, hat and carry the six shooters. Yeah. Like we were, you know, like it's that was thing I was saying about Pat Bateman. Like the anti-hero is also a really strong character archetype that we can identify with.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
I immediately thought for mine, Maniac McGee.
Oh yeah,
Maniac McGee.
You said when we
is great.
When Sean Maniac suggested
McGee?
This.
He's from the book Maniac McGee.
I don't know that book.
He's
it's a kid. Wait, it's a kids book. Jerry Spinelli?
Yeah, it's from like the early '90s, and okay. I think I read it in fourth grade, like right when it came out, I think. And then, like, he's like a kid who's homeless, and he's just the fastest kid there is. It's like he's like Achilles. Like he's just like superhuman, and like everyone tries to beat this kid at a race. And, like, this one kid, like, lines up and he's like, I'm gonna kick your ass, Maniac McGee. So Maniac McGee has to beat him, like, super bad to prove that he's, like the champion. Like, he's Beowulf, right? He's, like, the mythical fastest runner. So he beats him backwards. He races him backwards. Like,
he runs backwards.
He beats him and then he starts running backwards.
Okay.
And it's just, like, I think I liked it so much then because I didn't realize it, but I'm reading Greek mythology. It's just all it is this character is a myth. He's not real. He's not a real person, you know? So I don't know. I like that stuff the most.
And Zane, I wanted to ask you specifically about Harry Potter because I know, like, that's your thing. Like, you are to Harry Potter as I am to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But Harry's not your favorite character in those novels, is he?
No, Harry's not. It's Hermione.
Okay.
It's Hermione. And part of that is, like, I was realizing when I was trying to think of main characters that I really like, unfortunately for me, a lot of them are not main characters.
That's
because
okay.
As a young girl, I didn't get a lot of books that were about, like, a girl being the hero.
Magic Pony's too new.
A lot of the, a lot of my favorite characters are, like, you know, Hermione is definitely a main character, but she's also kind of a little secondary.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, the books are called Harry Potter and
Exactly. But I do, Hermione's my favorite. I mean, there's a lot to choose from in those books because Luna also comes to mind and Professor McGonagall. But,
McGonagall.
but Hermione is fully formed. And that's what's so great about all those characters is everyone is complete. They have a backstory. And what's great about Hermione is that she's not, again, you know, it's sometimes it's slim pickings when it comes to female characters. So she's not ever an object.
Right.
And she's also not idealized. There's a lot of stuff that Hermione gets wrong. She's a little stuck up. She is a little self-centered. And she's a know-it-all, you know, and it, that's never even written as like a bad thing. It's just part of who she is.
Yeah, the a perfect character is hard to love. Like, well, you have to have flaws to be human.
Again, that kind of thing is hard to find when it comes to female characters because we need to idealize them. So a lot of times they always make the right choices.
Right.
And they're never self-centered and they're never selfish.
They know just the right thing to say.
And what I like about Hermione is that even though she is like the smartest of the bunch and everything, she has a lot of little
flaws.
And they're never even written as like, you know, we should hate Hermione because she's a bratty know-it-all. It's just like, that's part of who she is. And she was written just as well as all the male characters.
Yeah, it goes well from like, the spotlight kind of goes to all three of them.
Yeah.
Very smoothly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I honestly can't stand Ron. I can't.
Oh, Ronnie the Bear? He's the best.
Oh, I can't stand Ronnie.
Ronnie.
Ron drives me crazy.
He sucks.
He does. I mean, it's his job to
suck. He's the comic relief.
And you're not supposed
to
like him. Right. I don't even think he's the comic relief. I think he's just the, like, he's the yin to Harry's yang, like, kind of a thing. Like,
he's there for moral support. That's why Ron is there.
He's the soul, right? He's the everyday heart.
He's the heart. That's, you know, he keeps Harry grounded and he keeps him happy and moving forward.
I just think that, like,
you know, Hermione's too serious and Ron is lighthearted and he shows Harry what friendship is.
Yeah.
He's his friend.
I get it, but I don't like the character.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hate when people say that about Ron. I love Ron.
Something bothers me about him. Maybe it's like the redheaded thing.
It's like, no.
No.
Nothing bothers you.
No.
I love Ron.
And the other one that I thought of was Joe March from Little Women.
Never read it.
Yeah, I know.
Winona Ryder is in the movie.
She's a really great character. But again, you know, like Louisa May Alcott, she knew what she was doing when she wrote that book all those years ago.
Yeah.
You know, writing fully formed women.
What about like Atticus Finch? You could say, you know, Atticus.
Again,
I started getting into these like classic characters that I knew were favorites,
right.
But they're not my favorite.
Right.
I have no attachment to Atticus
Finch. One of my favorites that I came up with is going to mean nothing to 90%, if not more, of the people who listen to the show, and it's Fra Erasmus, and Fra is short for brother. He's like it's from Anathem by Neal Stephenson, and he's the narrator of the story. It's told first person.
Yeah.
I love, like, you know, I don't want to give away the novel, but it's several years old, so I can spoil it. Like, the beautiful thing about Anathem is that it's this, like, it's over 1,100 pages long, and it's this huge, sprawling novel that tells, like, of this whole other world and interdimensional travel and, like, meeting beings from other dimensions and having conferences about, like, crossing planes of existence and all this.
Yeah.
And it goes so big and so huge. And then at the end, like, it literally wraps itself up, and it really is just about a male and female character finding each other and falling in love.
Yeah.
And at the end, it's just like literally the last, he puts his pen down and stops writing at the end of the book. And like, I started crying when I read it because it was such an amazing journey that you went on with him. Like, he's one of my favorite characters, but it's so hard to relate why. Like, and I think that's another thing that comes up. Like, it's hard to explain why your favorite character is your favorite character. Like, Erasmus and Edmond Dantes and Patrick Bateman have nothing in common.
Yeah.
There's no trait that they share.
Well, and I think some of it is, Josh has touched on this before. It's not just like what about the character grabs you, but it's also like when you read it, like that character reminds you of that time and place when you first connected with them.
It's like hearing a song.
Exactly. It's like hearing a song. Like, it just takes you back to that first time that you heard it. And sometimes that's hard to explain. Like, it's just a feeling that character gives you, and it kind of has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
Really? Nothing has anything to do with anything.
Well, no, it's an interesting thing. And then I mean, like,
Everything is pointless. Futile.
We believe in nothing, Lebowski.
Everything is meaningless. The end.
She cut off her toe.
It's not fair. Tangent. Was like, so yeah, like, and that's like, we just did, I don't know, 15 minutes on literature, right?
Oh
yeah.
My
like,
god.
Once you get into like television or film, or like I was thinking before, comic strips,
mm-hmm.
like the one I was thinking of earlier, when I was younger, we used to have all the collection of Bloom County books, and I've talked about it before, my love of Bloom County. And my favorite character was Milo, who is like he's got big thick glasses and he's kind of contrarian, mm-hmm. and you know,
that's weird.
He reminds me of
somebody I know.
Can we put a picture up on this podcast?
On the podcast?
Yeah. Yeah.
A video picture.
Here it is, guys. Here's that picture. There you go. All right. And like when I was a kid, I loved those books. Like it was all about like the Reagan era, yeah. and like George Bush and Star Wars. Yeah. Like not Star Wars, the movie. Like
the program,
the defense program. Yeah. And like the Soviets. So recently, Burke Reeve has started doing them again on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not. It's not
the same.
Doing it for me. Yeah. Like it's great that he's doing it. It's great that the character's back. I actually heard an interview with him. He's having a lot more fun doing it now than he ever did before. And like I read them, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's that,
yeah.
it goes to that thing of like, it was a time.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was a,
and you can't recapture
it. Was an experience.
It.
And I can't recapture it.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully somebody out there is finding it and like
right.
getting turned on
yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
But like, I, it's not bad. It's just not
right.
what I remember.
Well, right. staying on comic strips, what about Calvin?
The thing about Calvin is that Calvin is great because Bill Watterson is as much as possible in a mass produced syndicated thing, kept it pure.
Yeah.
He never allowed it to be sold for licensing. You'll never see a Calvin and Hobbes animated series.
I saw him peeing on a Ford logo. Now, was that him?
Yes. But that's because Bill Watterson worked for Chevrolet.
Oh!
I made that up.
Buy Ford.
And he stopped. He stopped. Like, he was like,
yeah.
This is done.
Yeah.
I'm over.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like Snoopy or, you know, Peanuts. It
right.
goes on for
right.
70
yeah.
years.
There's still print those in
there's
those
a movie coming
day.
Out. Yeah,
I saw
it's
it.
Crazy.
I
saw
it? Yeah.
Was it good?
It was actually really good.
I heard
it
was. It
was
too.
Really good. Well, because it stays true to the source material.
Yeah.
Anyway, the thing about Calvin is, when I was a kid and read Calvin and Hobbes, like Calvin was my favorite. Like
yeah, you want to be
you.
Calvin.
You was like, it was
a
like
smart
that,
ass
that kid
who gets
yeah.
away with it.
His imagination
yeah.
is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, as a grown man, yo, Calvin's dad
yeah.
is
dude. Calvin's
awesome.
Dad is amazing.
Dude, Calvin's
dude,
dad rules.
Like there's the one where he's talking about Calvin asked him about black and white pictures.
Yes.
And he's like, oh no, the world used to be in black and
yeah.
white.
It wasn't color. But it's so great.
So good.
Such good dad jokes. Oh my god.
I was trying to like just. When I was trying to think of a favorite character, I was like, what's the first thing that comes to your head?
Yeah.
You know, and I was trying to do it that way because if I put too much thought in it, it was like, no,
yep.
you know. So when I started thinking about movies and stuff, the first one that came to my mind was Marion Ravenwood from Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah?
Ah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
She's
and then Crystal Skull comes along.
Yeah. Well, it was nice to see her at least. That was
well,
like
I'm just
the
saying,
only
like, you can't go home
right,
again.
You can't go home
yeah.
again. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't, if I had, like,
a movie,
oh my
right?
god, I
Hal.
Wouldn't. Hal.
Hal's
great.
Right. Because
Ellen Ripley is great.
Ellen Ripley, yeah, like.
Well, I mean, you start getting, again, it's like, now there's too many choices.
It's too
but again,
there's too many things that
and
I
then,
like.
And then, like, you go Ellen Ripley, and I go, Alien Resurrection? Like,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, that's
like,
true.
You
yeah,
have
but,
to, you have
I mean,
to,
for something like that, I would say, like, does watching Crystal Skull make me not like Marion Ravenwood anymore?
No,
it just makes me not like Crystal Skull.
Fair enough.
That's
fair enough.
You know, like, it's
okay.
not like it
true.
Ruined the character. And I feel the same way about Ellen Ripley. Like, do all the Alien movies make me hate Ellen Ripley? No, it just makes me hate that they feel
that
they
continue to go
continue
back
this
to that well. Yeah.
franchise.
Yeah.
It doesn't ruin the character for me.
All right.
Man with No Name from the Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
He's great because he's very Spartan, right? He's very, like, you know
what you see is what you get.
Yeah,
kind of
he's
yeah.
just he's always got the line. Right?
William Wallace.
Yeah, William Wallace.
I know you're not gonna. I mean, I know you're not a Mel Gibson fan, but
the guy Zane. From Apocalypto,
Jaguar
Paw. Thank you.
But no, William Wallace is a great character
because
he's got the love story and he's got the childhood.
He's
like,
got revenge going,
yeah.
which is always good. Everyone loves revenge. The Bride,
Edmund Dantes.
Yeah,
great.
The Bride from Kill Bill.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Django Unchained.
The Django. The Django Fett.
Not Django Fett. The armor's cool.
The armor is cool.
That fight on Kamino's cool.
Yeah. There need to be more of that. A little bit more of that.
That video game was cool, too. Bounty Hunter?
I don't remember Bounty Hunter.
It was glitchy, but it was fun.
I was a big into the Battlefront, which came out last week.
And is apparently not very good.
People are complaining about it.
Of course people are complaining about it. It's a video game.
Anyway,
tangent.
The Django Fett, number one character in Attack of the Clones. Best movie of all time.
He wasn't in Attack of the Clones. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Yes, he was. I was thinking Phantom Menace. I do get them mixed up. I do.
I know that about you.
In my old age.
My confusion.
Where's my episode?
Does anyone else, I mean, even, going outside of movies and back to books even, you know, who's just a character that immediately springs to mind?
Well, again, going to that thing where, like, it transitions. I don't know if you guys probably don't remember when The Simpsons first premiered.
Mm-hmm.
I do. The whole world was Bart Simpson.
Yeah. Yep.
Underachiever, proud of it. Eat my shorts, man. Don't have a cow. Like
I had a slap bracelet that said "Cowabunga, dude" on it.
And for like the first season and a half, two seasons, it was the Bart Simpson show.
Yeah.
Now and like since then, Homer.
Yes.
Everybody's all about Homer because they like it was like, oh man, that's what Americans are like. First, it was like that's what kids are really like, and then it's like the show went on, like. The character of Homer became more and more important.
Yeah.
That show's got so many iconic goddamn characters.
Yeah.
I was watching episodes the other night, like older, like Mr. like the one where Mr. Burns sends Smithers away on a vacation, dude.
Yeah.
Montgomery Burns might be one of
Smithers
my favorite characters.
Mr. Smithers goes to Washington. Is that what it's called?
No, it's called Homer the Smithers.
Oh, Homer.
Yeah. Sorry, that's what it's called. Do we have any video game character? Mario?
No. Link? Oh, man. I guess Link. But again, Link is just a...
Yeah, I was...
He's a knight.
I think,
he's just a nightman.
I think video games are harder because part of what my criteria, I realized as I was trying to think of characters that I liked, were they needed to be fully formed.
Mm-hmm.
And, like...
That's tough to do.
I can't... You know, like, when we talk about Link or, like, Mario, are they fully formed?
You're filling in the story.
I was going to say, that's the other thing. It's an interactive media, so it becomes much more, like,
personal. I mean, and that's my own personal, like, criteria for what I...
No, I agree with that.
...need to have
in
a favorite character. I'm sure lots of people, would consider...
A video game character
to be their favorite character.
All right, so the answer is there's no such thing as a favorite character.
It's impossible.
I just can't narrow it down to just one. I can think of a lot. I mean, I even have more, but like,
what's another
can't.
One?
Well, McMurphy from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
McMurphy.
Mm-hmm. Virgil.
From
Dante's Inferno.
The WWF.
From Dante's Inferno, yes, but also...
He's in...
From the WWF.
From the WWF. Jim Nightshade, Marla Singer.
Okay.
Marla
Singer, yeah. Great.
See, I would have gone with Tyler Durden.
I like Marla.
Well,
everyone likes Marla. Again, Marla is like, the lines, right? The, I haven't been fucked like that since grade school.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was like, oh my fucking God.
I think Marla is more fully formed.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that.
So that's why I like immediately.
See, but I also think she's, it's in the commentary, if you ever watched like the DVD commentary on the movie, where it's like she's really the tragic, like she's the tragic hero of the story. But I actually think I think that the tragedy of Tyler is worse than the tragedy of the narrator, because the alter ego doesn't know that he is the bad guy,
right?
Kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
That's a good point, Anakin. He's Anakin, right?
What about, like,
I was thinking Arthur Dent. A lot of people love Arthur Dent, but I don't really care for those novels. I think he's a great character because he's like an earthling thrust into Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay, yeah.
Because he's like, he's the everyman thrust into the stupidest space universe ever created.
There's something, I mean, I know that you don't like Douglas Adams, but there is something, like, when you read him, he's like your buddy. You're just like, oh, yeah. Like, it's, like, very comforting to read about him.
That's, I always felt that way about, like, Kurt Vonnegut. It's like, I'm not really reading a story by Kurt Vonnegut. I'm just reading Kurt Vonnegut talking to me.
Yeah.
Because you can totally tell. You're like, okay,
cool. That's how I feel. Yeah. Again, it's not a character, but the author Bill Bryson, who writes nonfiction. I always say to people, like, he's writing like he's writing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's your friend, and I've got this great story to tell you.
Right.
Yeah.
Anybody else seen on your list?
I mean, you got a lot. You thought way more. I couldn't even.
I got hung up. Like, the only I come up with three, and then
that I kept
like,
thinking of was Vic McQueen from Nosferatu.
Okay.
Because again, fully formed. I really like her. She's cool. It's tough to find. I kept thinking of women that weren't written as like that were written with flaws, and she's really she is very flawed. Mm-hmm. But she's definitely the hero, and it's awesome to read. Like, this, it's very rare that I read, like, a newer book where I immediately really fall in love with a character. I feel like a lot of the characters that I like are from older books. Like, it's, sometimes it's, you don't love new characters.
I always feel sometimes like you're just rereading a slightly tweaked version of something you've already seen or read.
No, but she is, he does do a great job. Joe Hill does an amazing job of warts and all with her.
Exactly.
And you love her anyway.
And you love her anyway, and it's not like, you know, a lot of times women are, when their flaws are included, it's like, and this is why you shouldn't like them.
Right.
You know, it's like, she was so pretty, but she was a stuck-up bitch. Right. Or, you know, like, she's awesome and she's our hero, but she can't even take care of her kid, you know, and it's like, you're supposed to hate her. And instead, she was written with the same kind of care and attention that another author would have given a man.
Yeah.
And you know, even aside from all of that, she was awesome to read. She was badass. It was just so much fun to go on that ride with her.
You know who almost never fails in character? Like, seriously? Pixar.
Yeah.
Like, name me a Pixar movie that doesn't have one of the, like, some of the strongest characters.
Yeah.
You can call, like, Merida from Brave, Remy from Ratatouille. Wally. Yeah.
Wally, probably my favorite because he doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
He does the action,
right,
which is what a movie should be.
See, that's why I like Ratatouille. I actually think Ratatouille is the closest they've ever done to making a real movie.
Yeah.
And it's got talking rats in it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's ridiculous.
But it's still
right?
got, like, it's got that chase from the French Connection, like, across the Seine River. And, like, it's got all those, like, hits all those little Parisian, like, moments. I fucking love that movie, dude.
I haven't seen that one in a while.
Partial to Brave because of the horse in it.
Yeah, I'm partial to Brave. I mean, Merida's
because
great.
Redheads forever.
Angus
the best.
Is great.
Angus, which was
her horse.
That's the horse.
The horse.
Yeah.
What about the reindeer from the Frozen?
What is his name?
That's not Pixar. His name is
Sven.
Olaf.
Olaf.
No, Olaf's the snowman.
Sven.
No, Sven's the guy.
Slorgman.
It's definitely Slorgman.
It's an S, I swear to God.
No, it's not Sven. Sven's the guy. No, you're right. It's Sven.
God damn it!
It just came to me. Kristoff is the guy and Sven is the reindeer.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad we got that settled.
Thank you. At least I didn't have to go to a break to get proven wrong this time.
Although, I think the best Disney horse, if you want my opinion and no one asked,
I definitely want to know.
Wait, can I guess?
Yeah, you can guess.
Is it Philip's horse from Sleeping Beauty?
Yes, it is.
His name is... Wait. Sven.
Because he fights a dragon, right?
His name is Sam.
I would not
The horse's
that.
Name is Sam?
There's a lot of good horses
Sam Mayday Malone
in
horse.
The Disney universe, but Sam is my favorite.
There's also a lot of bad horses in the Disney universe.
Khan is another. He's a really good one from Mulan.
I like... I know we go back and forth on this, but the bad guy's horse in Mulan.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's on that native pony.
Yeah, man.
They're cool
know.
Looking.
I've never
they
seen
have little
Mulan.
Mohawks. They're super cute.
You've never seen Mulan?
No.
Dude, bro.
I'm sorry.
He's too busy.
Those little, like, Mongolian books. Ponies are so cute. That's like an actual breed, and they're adorable. Also...
Did you know that Palomino is the only horse that's a breed and a color?
We'll be right back.
No, you can't do that again.
Shit.
That's hard to edit.
It's hard to edit.
We're going to a break, damn it. And with that, let's go ahead and take a little break. We'll be back in a minute.
But she had left for the shore, working in some boardwalk candy store. I wanted to follow her home, but before I could, it was too late.
Welcome back. Segment 3 of Cracking the Spine, episode 43. Still Sean, still Zane,
yay.
Still Josh.
For now.
So, while we were at break, Zane mentioned that we had gotten a Twitter shout-out earlier from, who was it, Zane?
Andy Atkinson, at CrazySkunk82.
Crazy Skunk.
82 of them. And it was a link to an IO9 article
about a subject that is near and dear to our hearts.
Yes.
The clusterfuck that was the Battle of the Five Armies, the third Hobbit film. And yep. Zane, I'll allow you to...
Well, the headline is, Peter Jackson freely admits the Hobbit's production was a shambles.
Thus convinced that also water is wet.
Yeah.
In a new video from the Blu-ray release of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, Peter Jackson and his team are so candid as to their lack of preparation when making these films that it almost feels like a Saturday Night Live sketch. They can't actually be saying these things, can they? Peter Jackson didn't just say, quote, I started shooting the movie with most of it not prepped at all, did he? Did they just admit that most of the props and costumes weren't completed until the day of shooting? That there were no storyboards? The scripts weren't ready? That the planning was so spontaneous sometimes the crew would have to take an extended lunch to let Jackson figure stuff out?
That's probably why, you know what, you can tell because, what's his name? Hobbit Man. Bilbo.
Uh-huh.
What's his real name?
Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman. Did a bunch of interviews for his press, you know, when you go do your press for your movie.
Right, right.
And he was just like, he didn't want to talk about it. And you could tell, like, you knew something was like, he couldn't even muster, he's an actor, he couldn't even muster the fake enthusiasm.
From the article, there's even video of the day Jackson and the studio agreed to stop shooting the Battle of the Five Armies for several months because they were so wildly unprepared to tackle such a massive scene and were literally just shooting random fight footage for no reason.
Boy, it's almost as though they could have made two movies instead of three.
Yeah. You didn't even need the Battle of the Five Armies, which doesn't happen in
Happen in the book, except for anecdotally. Yeah.
So, thank you for the rant fodder, Andy Atkinson.
We love being angry about The Hobbit.
Also, The Hobbit!
And furthermore, Peter Jackson.
Tell us some of your favorite characters, guys. And
Can you narrow it down? Is there a character that you like feel very strongly is your favorite, or are you as indecisive as we are?
Yeah, because especially, like, I feel like we had a really hard time with this one.
I feel very strange, like, pledging myself to one character being like, that's my favorite. The end.
Yeah. Right.
Like, there's so many. Like, Josh and I were talking about favorite songs, and I said that, like, there's...
99 Red Balloons.
There's different songs that are my favorite, like, at different times and for different reasons. Like, they're about different things.
Right, yeah. Yep.
You know, like, I have a favorite song about... You know, like, I can't...
I like Big Butts. It's my favorite song about butts.
And the best character is Alf.
The best character, I think we did before the show.
We all agreed it was Alf.
Alf is the best character.
Speaking of I like Big Butts, just tangentially.
Here we go.
So I went and saw the Peanuts movie with my daughter.
Yeah, did they play that song?
Well, there's a preview for the new Alvin and the Chipmunks movie.
I saw this.
Alvin and the Chipmunks go on, like, a road trip to stop Dave from getting engaged.
Oh, my God.
And I swear to God.
Get out of his life. Dude,
there's a scene where they're at this, like, big spring break pool party.
Oh, my God.
And they start... Fucking chipmunk starts singing.
Well, that's the joke.
It was like,
right?
Dude, it was like, and I'm like sitting there with my daughter, like, no.
Hey, man, I like Big Butts.
Yeah, we know.
All right, we're gonna steer this back around for just a second because
around a big butt.
With any luck, you guys are listening to this the day that we upload it, which will be Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving!
So I do want to take a moment, and I want to be genuine about this.
What are we thankful for?
I want to thank the listeners of this show for their support of it. We don't talk about the numbers and, like, the analytics of this show.
No.
But, like, within the past month, like, with, basically after Halloween, we're talking about, like, hundreds of percents of growth in the number of listeners to this show. And I'm really humbled by it, and I really want to thank Zane and Josh for coming out here week after week for no money, to get aggravated by me.
No, what? No, I love coming here. This
Well, I get paid in kisses.
Oh, boy.
Who's kissing you? I ain't kissing you.
I don't think I am.
All right, well,
I sneak into Josh's house.
Guess I know what we're talking about next
and
week.
And take my payment.
But seriously.
Not again!
But seriously, thank you both, and thank you to anybody who is listening, who whether or not you just started, or if you've been with us from the beginning. This is a really...
Well, and,
fun
and
thing
I have to
me.
Say, the all the emails and the tweets and everything that we get and the comments on Facebook, everyone is so thoughtful and articulate and really interested in joining in on the conversation. And I think that is really, really cool
yeah.
and
yeah.
special. So it's not even just like that the numbers are going up, but clearly the quality of the people that participate and listen to this show is fucking awesome.
I try to read more books for you folks.
That's not what
I think they like that you don't read, Josh. I think they like it. It's a thing that's like your shtick.
I gotta have one because I'm very
talented. Can't break outside of your character.
All right. So seriously, thank you guys. And as the holidays approach, we'll be continuing to do, you know, some more shows. If you have any ideas, throw them out to us.
Yeah, we always love listener suggestions.
They're the best.
You guys are the best. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, Zane. Thank you, Josh. I love you.
You're welcome.
And
keep on turkeying.
There it is. Keep on turkeying. Have a good week. We'll talk more next.
Best show ever.